Welcome to the Industrial Talk Podcast with Scott McKenzie. Scott is a passionate industry professional dedicated to transferring cutting-edge, industry-focused innovations and trends while highlighting the men and women who keep the world moving. So put on your hard hat, grab your work boots, and let's go.
Hey there, welcome to the Industrial Talk Podcast. So glad that you are here. You know that the Industrial Talk platform is dedicated to you, the industrial professionals, the companies that get it done. You persevere, you innovate, you overcome. That's what we like to highlight. We like to highlight the best of the best. Speaking of which, we've got a gentleman by the name of Christian Silbernagel. And he's with Fluke Reliability, and he is a powerhouse. He's a powerhouse in IIoT. He's a powerhouse in Industry 4.0. He's a powerhouse in digitization. And on this episode, we're going to be talking about the challenges and solutions with IIoT, smart data versus big data, and then the power of connected reliability. So let's get going. Yeah. When you talk to people like Christian and others that have been on this industry, this Industrial Talk podcast, you realize you're not the sharpest tool in the shed because these guys come loaded for bear with just incredible insights and wonderful stuff. So anyway, I had a great interview. And I mean, if you're not engaged in Industry 4.0 or looking into it or that digitization, the edge, all of the stuff that's associated with it, and you make decisions within a company or you're a part of the decision-making team, you are behind the eight ball when it comes to this stuff because people like Christian and the rest of those wonderful people at Fluke Reliability, they're pushing the envelope. They're making industry more efficient, more insightful, more reliable, you name it. That's what they're committed to. They're committed to your success. So anyway, Christian Silbernagel is on the docket for this particular interview. Enjoy. Hey, Christian, welcome to the Industrial Talk Podcast. So glad that you are here. How are you doing today?
I'm very good, Scott. How about yourself?
Man, 5x5. I love your mic. You're coming in so loud and clear. It's so cool, man. I do enjoy that. Hey, for the listeners out there of Industrial Talk, give us a little background on who you are, what you're all about, and why you're an incredible profession. I've looked at your stat card out on LinkedIn. You got some mad skills. Let us know a little bit about you.
Yeah, thank you very much. Yeah, my name is Christian Silbernagel. I'm currently in the role of regional sales manager for the Western US and Mexico at Fluke Reliability. A bit about my background. I'm actually holding a degree in physics, specifically laser physics, started as condition monitoring engineer for the implementation of online condition monitoring projects at Prüftechnik. And then after 2 to 3 years, I entered the sales department as key account manager for a couple of years and actually moved after the acquisition of Prüftechnik by Fluke, which is, by the way, very great. Last year, when was it, like end of June, I moved to the US and started my new role here.
I think that that's great, but I got all bound up by the fact that you threw in laser in that. That's pretty cool.
Yeah, it is.
I like
indeed.
The laser
it
stuff. Indeed.
Yeah.
I really do. Now, we're going to talk a little bit about this. I like the topic of IoT. You guys are leaders. Fluke Reliability, definitely leaders in a lot of the IoT, IIoT space, as along with all the other things that Fluke Reliability does. And we're going to, in this particular podcast, we're going to talk a little bit about the gap that exists today with companies like their reliability program and all of the digitization initiatives that are taking place within industry. And that creates, of course, challenges, right?
Definitely.
So listeners out there, so it's one thing to say, hey, we've got a reliability program, but then there's this other whole other element that we're talking about, and it's the digitization and how do you begin to meld the two together. The first point I want to talk a little bit about is that from your perspective is the Industrial Internet of Things, IIoT challenges and solutions. Why don't you give us a little challenge with the IIoT challenges?
Yes, so specifically like in the content as coming from Fluke Reliability is that let's say implementation specifically of condition monitoring techniques that are out there. What is the challenge of implementing that into the digital strategy of a company in the context of IoT? Yeah, I mean, like the biggest challenges that you have out there is definitely data security, data integrity, the complexity of such a project when we're talking about online condition monitoring, all different kind of sensors, bringing that into IT environment on site. And the choice of the right techniques is also a huge challenge for a lot of companies. And then for sure, you have to ensure the reliability of the program itself, which is also a very big challenge.
See, how do you begin eating that elephant? It's one bite at a time. I understand that. But if I already have an existing reliability program out there, mm-hmm. we do timed reliability testing, whatever our strategies are, one of the things that I see is with the digital component is that you start pulling in a lot of intellectual type of data analysis to be able to, you really can't predict, but you can see some trends taking place within on that asset. Mm-hmm. That's the real friction that happens. We've been doing it this way forever and we've been having great success. But now you're talking mm-hmm. about bringing out some digital stuff. Is that sort of the challenge?
Yes, it is indeed. And actually, honestly, you have to understand, put first things first always, right? So honestly, you should actually begin always with the end in mind so that you understand, okay, this is where I'm at and this is where I want to go. Because otherwise you will run in huge obstacles. Like, for example, everybody knows that big term around LinkedIn and all around other platforms, big data. So there's like a lot of companies saying, okay, big data, we have access to it, but they are all collecting data without a plan. Usually when you think about implementing reliability solution within IoT, then they are often aiming companies for large scale projects. Where you can actually imagine that like on large scale projects, the return on invest or success will not come that fast or might not be happening.
But it's a long tail value proposition. I mean, you can place those devices out on those assets and begin to collect data and all of that good stuff. And that we'll have that conversation in a few minutes, mm-hmm. but it still requires first off, you got to have everybody sort of rowing in the same direction and agree that we've got a great reliability program, whatever it might be, but we can be better and to be able to place those devices out there and begin to collect data. But it is a long tail value proposition.
Exactly. So what you're actually mentioning, and this is, I believe, what we're also going to talk about later, is like that it's definitely a cultural aspect that kicks in here, is like that everybody is on the same page. And then again, like first things first, what is important so that we can reach the goal that we set for ourselves, right? And this can also start, for example, when you decide at the very beginning for the wrong standards of communication, because, you know, every company has like different stages of assets, right? So that some SCADA systems, for example, they might be 20 years old. Some of them might be just one year old. They all use different communication protocols. And if you just start narrowing yourself, for example, let's say I would just standardize on one bus protocol, for example, right? Then I will be always stuck in that. And I have to actually design my whole project around this one protocol, which doesn't make any sense because this is not the major task to do, right? And this is also where many companies try to start with self-design tailor-made solutions around that, and then later on actually within that again struggling with the reliability of their own created solution, plus then also the cybersecurity problem kicks in, right?
What would be a challenge for me is either it's do I get a team on board that believes in a big bang, meaning we're going to do it all at once, or do I incrementally just sort of begin to incorporate sort of a digital strategy and identify assets that can, like low hanging fruit assets that can benefit? What do you sort of advocate?
Okay, so actually, yeah, as you just said, you have to bring down and bring all people at the table, because, you know, different departments, different teams, they all want to gather different information about such a strategy, right? So if you're looking on top management, they just want to see their KPIs, the general health, and they actually want to get out something completely different out of that program than a reliability team, right? But it all comes together at the end and creates something as connected reliability. So it actually comes all together. It's just different part of a huge, gigantic project, if you say so. And
yeah. I'm sort of the you can get overwhelmed by the size and benefits that can be achieved. Yes. I'm always sort of more into the incremental and say, okay, here's our starting spot, and we're going to focus in on that. We're going to perfect that, and then we'll be able to sort of duplicate our approach and then so on and so forth. But so now I'm a company, and I said, yeah, I'm all into this digitization. I'm going to start collecting more data, and of course, I have legacy data that is SCADA, DCS. I've got data everywhere. How do I begin to look at that big data, because it's just data, and then beginning to create a more smart data collection strategy?
Exactly. So as we said earlier, it's like a lot of people are collecting data without a plan, right? So they're just acquiring data. I mean, like, storage is cheap, right? So nowadays, yeah. And honestly, the internet speeds that we have, it's incredible, right? And that's why people are starting collecting data and collecting data a lot. But they actually, when we would say, okay, I want to implement online condition monitoring, right? Which I'm a huge fan of. This is my passion all over my job in the past years, was always online condition monitoring, using mainly vibration sensors and other sensors that you can integrate in there. It all starts down with domain knowledge, you know, so that you understand the assets, which assets need to be monitored, where does it make sense to collect data? And then you also need to understand which sensor data actually makes sense to gather information out of that asset. And it actually starts there. And I mean, like, it sounds pretty simple. And I mean, we have been all at conferences and we did all our certifications, and we know, okay, the classification of the assets and domain knowledge, this is where it always starts. It sounds simple, but this is where you need to start. Yeah. To be effective and to be successful. And then later on, you can decide, because honestly, there is some assets where just like looking at vibration readings, it won't save your asset. No, you have to have a look, okay, what information can I get out of the SCADA system? Which information can I get out from a temperature sensor, oil, power, load information, and actually bring this all in the cross correlation. And this is actually the synergy of connected reliability within there.
And yeah, and again, to the point of that could be an overwhelming task to be able to do that, because data is so prevalent out there. And from my perspective, I'd be overwhelmed by, is that good temperature data, or do I really need to, or is that, and then does it correlate back to, let's say, vibration or my lube strategy or whatever it might be? That's got to be also a part of that cultural conversation you have within your team, and saying, okay, here's the data. We can pull it here. How do we manage that? And how do we get the data that we need? And not only that, not box yourself into a specific strategy that you can't back out of, because it could keep growing, right?
Exactly. And if you just have a look on, I mean, like, it sounds today so normal, right, to pump all this data into a data lake. We just run our analytics through it, and then afterwards, the system that we created will tell us what to do. And actually, you were mentioning something, smart data. And honestly, smart data versus big data, I will always go for smart data. So that means actually you need, right at the edge, so as close as possible to the asset, something, an edge device that will create smart and enrich data, right? So it's pre-processing it and then driving it forward to your analytics. Because
for the listeners out there, sort of define what you mean by edge.
Okay. So actually, you would, let's say, you have in condition monitoring system. So you have like sensors that are connected directly on top of your asset, right? So they are physically installed or are having, they are, let's say, directly connected to your asset. And then there is like a layer in between that and your software layer or cloud layer. And in between that, you have like data collection systems, so like permanently fixed installed systems that are directly on the edge. That means they're having an interface directly to the asset through the sensor, plus that they can also communicate with the layer above that. So that also communicate with the software layer and analytics platform layers.
And it's sort
so
of
they
like
are sitting
a,
right on the edge to the asset.
So what I see, and it's like a data filter, because your device is sending data, boom, 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 boom. But that edge device can say, okay, that, that data, don't worry about it. This data, I'm going to let it pass. And then be able to have that edge device communicated to your data lake for accurate, you know, for an accurate analysis of the data, because you're not sending just data for the sake of sending data up to the cloud.
Yes. So, what I like is, let's say, because all the people are talking a lot about data mining and everything, right?
Yeah.
Let's see it. Let's look at smart condition monitoring, something like you have this smart edge device, right, that is pre-processing the data and it's enriching the data. And think about like that. If I just open all my sensors and put them into the lake, it will take a lot to mine out some gold nuggets, right, that make my program rich. And that edge device, think about it as a unit that is only producing gold nuggets and froze it into that data lake. So actually, let's say it is a huge driver for more accurate analytics than edge device.
And it's more efficient. I can I don't have to sit there and waste my time looking at useless data to find those nuggets.
Exactly.
There it is, man. If it's sent to the cloud, I would sort of assume that it is useful data per your edge device.
Yes.
Yeah. See, look at me. I'm learning. I'm going to be taking your job real soon there. No, I'm not. Trust me. Don't have any. you're way above that. Okay. So now what we have is we've discussed the IIoT challenges and then of course the solutions, and it's available today, and linking your reliability program with your digital strategy. We talk about how we can get to smart data versus just big data, right? Now, what does this all mean to me from the power of connected reliability? What does that mean to me?
What that means to you is, on the one hand, we can connect information, right? So that means, okay, we are starting at a project. We are bringing all the sensors, all the information around an asset together, and we can start and driving analytics and getting, let's say, information and finding and findings and cross correlations in between information, right? That is very, very good. Let's say out of the view from a reliability expert, right? This is like huge for them. But how do we create value now? And then we are kicking back into the cultural aspect. How do we create value for all teams within the company, right?
Yeah.
So actually, how do you bring it together? Because now that we have the smart condition monitoring and bringing everything together, we also need connected teams, right? And we need updated processes to develop its full capabilities. That means also, for example, work order management, asset management, workflows, inventory management, scheduling. And this is where it comes all together. And this is connected reliability.
Again, that seems like an absolutely monolithic task to get to that point. Or is it, again, incrementalism? We're hitting targets. We're doing things that are adding value. Because we're still also going to communicate with management. It's like, yeah, see, you always have to do this internally. So, look, we've done this with these assets. And we're seeing this type of results. It's all good. It's all positive. We're going here next. Is that, I mean, that could be overwhelming because you're just, you can pull data from everywhere.
Yes, you can. And this is where you have to start at the very beginning. Remember when we said it's like one of the big obstacles, the large scale projects, right? If you're starting with something like that, try to bring it down to smaller milestones, right? Try it first on a very, very small scale and see if you're going to succeed. And then you can start rolling it out. But you can even go an entire step before that. Because think about, in some companies, maybe it is just like, think about a smaller company to mid-sized company. They are successful, but there is a lot of room for improvement without adding headcount, right? But there is room for improvement. Think about it. If they don't use a professional CMMS system and they don't use any reliability tools so far, then the question is, okay, where can they gain, for example, faster successes and see their return on investment? Yeah. Because it can be that through implementing an easy digesting CMMS system with enhanced workflows, asset management, work order management, which they did not have had before. They just had some pen and paper stuff, right? If they would implement that, this can have a huge, huge impact on them. If they have already that, then you can easily add reliability solutions for them using the classical alignment systems equipment or adding some vibration sensors and so on and educating them from that side. There is different points where you can start, and you should always start and on a smaller scale and then roll it out to a large scale project.
See, I'm of the belief and is that if I can find some low hanging fruit, apply some, apply a reliability strategy using all the tools and capabilities available, and then demonstrating a return on that asset, return on that investment, return on whatever, then internally, it gives me greater leverage to do it in a more grander scale. That is like, hey, see, it all works. It's all good.
Exactly.
And that's real important. But one of the challenges that I always see, and this is, you pointed this out, is it always gets down to culture and people to properly implement these things. And that's always going to be a challenge, correct?
Mm-hmm. It's always going to be a challenge because you have to see it from the different perspectives, from a different perspective all the time, right? So let's say if I would be a reliability engineer, as you have been, right? And that's why I enjoy this conversation so much, is actually that if you see from different perspectives, that would be, for example, let's say it could be that management thinks, I've seen a lot of this stuff on LinkedIn, and they are thinking like, we don't have to grow our reliability, which involves a lot of training, a lot of education, and also a lot of money on the personal side, right? Yeah. So that means like for the headcount I have to pay for equipment. But this whole artificial intelligence and those platforms, they are going to save me that money. But they are not going to make you just as a single solution successful. You need the combination of both to be successful. So actually, at the end of the day, let's say reliability engineer, I can also understand they are sitting there and not even the reliability engineers, let's say also like millwrights, they are sitting there as like, okay, a millwright maybe not, but the reliability engineer sitting there is like, okay, maybe my job will not be needed in 2 years from now because they're implementing this digital strategy. And I say, no, it will be not. Actually, those digital strategies, industrial Internet of Things, in combination with reliability, means condition monitoring, alignment, you name it, right?
Yeah.
That's actually all together, you should see it as a suit, right? A suit that empowers you to stay more focused and to be on top of the task. And I don't believe that those programs are going to actually replace the human beings. It will actually make us smarter, acting smarter.
Now, you instead of wasting your time on low value activities, pushing paper around, you transition that individual to focus in on high value activities that have greater benefits for the companies. That's just the reality of it.
Yes.
You know, you don't have to have your reliability engineer look at data manually have a machine do that task, and exactly. Let that reliability engineer do what they do best, and that's keeping that asset running effectively. All right. We're going to have to wrap this up, unfortunately. Before I do leave, I want to ask this one question.
Yes.
Do you think, and this is always, and this might be a topic for another day, the ability to be able to deploy a good digital strategy, be able to slice and dice the data into smart components to be able to make better decisions, and then be able to deploy those the strategy in a more connective, global connected solution. One of the challenges that happen within any reliability initiative is sustainability. Mm-hmm. And it's like, okay, we're all on board with reliability. Boom, boom, boom. We're going to be, and we're going to do everything we can. And then management change and then things change and equipment's, you know, sits idle. Do you think like this, the strategy that we've been talking about, does it create a more sustainable long-term reliability strategy for companies?
Yes, but you actually mentioned like there is obviously an obstacle in the way, but honestly, you need to you always have to keep in mind that the, let's say, large return on invest, right, and everything, it might take some time till this kicks in. I bet you have also used condition monitoring equipment in your job, right, as reliability specialist. And you know how it is. In some cases, you are lucky and you immediately get your return on investment because you find some failure taking vibration readings. But sometimes, it takes you 1 to 2 years to see success. It is a long-term strategy, definitely.
Yeah, and companies make this big investment, financial investment up front, waiting for that return and the asset, you know, the running longer, all of that good stuff. It's a challenge. And then, and this is another topic for another day, is that when you finally realize that you got this return, then eventually you might see gains, but then it's going to slowly level out because you guys are operating efficiently, right? Mm-hmm. And then all of a sudden the financial results are just not as dramatic as they might be in an inefficient asset, you know? There's a lot of challenges, but I'm a big fan of this industry 4.0, you know, world we're living in. I mean, it's amazing.
Definitely it is.
All right. Okay, you listeners out there, we're going to be wrapping it up on the other side. Hey, Christian, are you active out on LinkedIn?
Yes, I'm active on LinkedIn. You can find me there by my full name, Christian Silbernagel, yes.
And that's Silbernagel. First name, Christian. Find out, reach out. And I think, can people just put in Fluke Reliability and then maybe there's not very many Christian Silbernagels, just FYI.
Exactly.
Yeah, I was going to say if it's Tom Jones, then yeah, you might want to, you know, put the company in. But anyway, you listeners, hey, Christian, thank you very much for joining the Industrial Talk podcast. Love it. Okay, you listeners out there, you know, all of this information will be out on industrialtalk.com. And just stay tuned. We're going to wrap it up on the other side. Thank you very much for joining. We will be right back.
You're listening to the Industrial Talk Podcast Network.
Hey, again, thank you very much for joining the Industrial Talk Podcast. So glad that you are here. Now, that was Christian Silbernagel. That's Silbernagel. Take note of that. He's with Fluke Reliability and, once again, a powerhouse in the world of digitization. And also go out to Fluke.com. That's Fluke.com. I'm out there right now. I'm looking at their website, and I got to tell you right now, easy to navigate, easy to find information that'll make you a better company, better reliability engineer, just all around better person. Successful, that's for doggone sure. That's Fluke.com. Go out there, find out more. And you know I'm running a program called Why You Need a Podcast. It's about the sales, marketing, and branding, and why you need to be doing that. It's all out there. Go out to industrialtalk.com and then just look over to your right, and there's the button and find out more. It's all the information that I know. but you need to do it because it's important for your business, and especially during these unique times that we're finding ourselves in. So that's why you need to be doing some podcasts. Reach out to me. I am an open book. I will not hold anything back. I'm here for your success because that's the community that we belong to. As always, be bold, be brave, dare greatly, change the world. Thank you very much for joining the Industrial Talk Podcast. Be safe, and thank you. Thank you again.